Liz Cheney loses badly in Wyoming, and former CIA Director Michael Hayden has a ridiculous take on the Republican Party. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day and lots of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Happy Friday.
Happy, happy Friday indeed to all y'all. Lots to get to today, you guys. And of course, we're celebrating that it is goodbye, Brian Stelter the Potato Day, officially on the Chicks on the Right show. But you guys, we're very, very excited. I know we've mentioned this particular sponsor before, in passing, because it's pretty new and we just learned all about it. And this is why we're so excited to tell you about it. So Jace Case, you guys, this is a Jace Case. And what's inside of it is antibiotics. And you're probably like, why would you have a case of antibiotics? I know, it seems weird. And like when it was first brought up to us, we were like, we have so many questions about why we would want to have emergency antibiotics on hand. Like there were so many questions that we had. But the doctor that has created this company, you guys, Dr. Sean, he answered every last one of our questions so overwhelmingly that we were like, we have to have a Jace case immediately. Like that's how sold we were. And so I know you're going to have questions even beyond us just telling you, one reason to get a Jace case is because almost 100% of antibiotics that are in existence come from freaking China and India, yeah. You guys. They're not made here. So when you think about the fact that China is like one of our biggest adversaries, and you think about all the supply chain issues that we already face, think how fast the United States could technically run out of antibiotics, okay? That's why you want to have an emergency supply on hand. And I know you have questions, which is why we ask them all for you when we talk to him. It's Deep Dive podcast episode number 153. So just look for that episode. It's with Dr. Sean Roland and watch it. It will blow your mind wide open and you'll be like, how do I get my hands on an emergency antibiotic kit? Well, we'll tell you how. You just go to jasemedical.com, jasemedical.com. Use code word CHICKS10 and you're going to get $10 off of your first order. So I'm telling you, if you think this is all BS and you think this is crazy and you don't think you need it, go listen to episode 153 and your mind will be blown. I promise.
Jace Case. They're the greatest. They're Jace really Case. Great. Okay. So also, you guys, speaking of deep dives, you want to check out the one that we did this week with Christian Toto because we just love him. He writes for the Daily Wire. He actually writes for us on occasion and he's just the nicest guy. He's just so dear and he does a lot of entertainment stuff and we did a really fun entertainment culture driven deep dive this week. It was a lot of fun. You guys should check it out. And you should be checking out our deep dive every single week. So do that.
Do. Oh, and I'm supposed to make one like sort of, I guess, retraction from that episode, oh. I guess. Well, because one of the things that we talked about with him was the whole Anne Heche hullabaloo and like the conspiracy theory around her.
What did you do? Well,
so we showed him a video that completely blew all of our minds when we first saw it. And it was when she, you know, was being wheeled away, completely covered up, right? She's being wheeled on a stretcher to the ambulance, 100% covered. And then all of a sudden, like Seven, like the weird sloth guy from Seven, she just like bursts out from under this sheet. Well, we called it I called it a body bag in the video that we did with Christian Toto, because that's what it looks like. She's completely 100% covered. But now people are saying it was one of those like fire, like wound prevention blankets or something. I don't know. Right. The point is she was 100% covered as though she were dead. And the way that she like bursts out of it is... Anyway, you'll see it if you watch that episode.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's freaking crazy.
Okay.
Okay. Ollie! Okay, it's time to do some celebrating, you guys. And we're going to do that. There was a, like, I think almost 4-minute montage made of Brian Stelter's greatest moments that Grabian put together. I'm not going to obviously play the whole thing, but I wanted to play about a minute of it just because it is so deliciously satisfying to know that absolute potato has lost his show. It's just really satisfying. I can't help it. I can't help how much I'm loving this. So let's watch a little bit of it.
Just it pisses me off. We will always have flaws. We will always screw up. We will always have to run corrections. We will always have to keep working to make it better and better and better every single day. And I mean, for all we know, these emails are made up, or maybe some are real and others are fakes. We don't know. But we do know that this is a classic example of the right-wing media machine.
Let's just raise the bar for everybody, though. Standards higher across the board.
The people who say we're lacking journalism, that we've become an all-talk channel, that we've run off and we're all opinions all the time, that Jeff Zucker led us astray, those people aren't watching CNN. They're not watching CNN. They're watching complaints about CNN on other channels that don't know what they're talking about. That's the truth.
God bless him
so much.
What's he going to do now? What is he going to do?
Well, that's a great question. Cause I don't know. He'll write a book maybe, or he'll like do a podcast, or he has a podcast, right? Maybe he'll just change it.
They all seem to have, like, that's what they gravitate towards. It. Like Chris, he'll go on Chris Cuomo's podcast. Like he may be a sidekick.
Or maybe he'll go on that channel. Or whatever that channel is.
I don't even know what that is.
News but, you know, Nation.
Like, oh, okay. Okay. I have no comment about that. I have none. I don't have anything to say about that. I just don't.
I mean, he is a potato, and he is a potato without a job.
He's so shiny. Not that I like bald guys. You know how I like bald guys. He's just such a stain on the bald guy nation, you know? Because he's mean to bald guys. Because you know how much I love bald guys, you know?
Yeah.
It's just he shouldn't be in that community. It's like the bald guys. It's like the bald guys are all saying, no, we don't. You're not welcome here. You're not welcome here. You're not.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it couldn't have happened to a nicer person. So anyway, so that has happened. Yay for that. Other big news from yesterday is that it appears we are going to see at least some of the affidavit that was used to justify the Mar-a-Lago raid. And so that news was announced yesterday, and I've got a couple interesting, like a juxtaposition, if you will, of two very different networks offering up some analysis about that. First, from, I think it's MSNBC, is that where Tiffany Cross is? I can't stand Tiffany Cross. But she's got herself a panel, and she wants to talk about the conspiracy side of this and whether Trump is being silly by suggesting that he wants everything out in the open and whether that's actually a good idea or not. So here, first of all, are the MSNBC folks.
It leads me to believe, is this all a publicity stunt? Because if he's saying, no, release everything, knowing that they may not release it, then it makes him look innocent to his millions of sycophants and blind followers. But do you think there's a chance that he actually does want the affidavit released unredacted?
Well, he doesn't know what's in the affidavit, but he knows that it got federal law enforcement into Mar-a-Lago, into his home. So if he's thinking logically, and I think if is doing a lot of work in this sentence, but if he's thinking logically, he will appreciate that it's not in his best interests to have the detailed evidence that DOJ put together in this search warrant affidavit released.
So I don't get that. Like, he has been wanting transparency
from
the
get-go. What don't you get about it?
Well, I don't get how they're saying that's not a he shouldn't, like, he shouldn't want that. Why wouldn't he?
Because they all think that he's guilty of something, and we don't. So, I mean, it's like, okay. This is the thing. This is the back and forth that I think is so interesting to watch on both sides, right?
Yeah.
Because we're all like, put it all out there. I mean, it's like, because it's kind of like the first day, you know, when you were like, there better be a dead body. You know,
right.
Because it's like there's nothing,
or an actual nuke, like a real for actual nuke.
Right. Like, it's like, I want to see it. And we haven't seen anything yet. It's kind of like why'd they wait 18 months? If it was so freaking, you know, dangerous, or if it was so important, why'd they wait all that time? Why'd they wait the whole weekend? You know what I mean? Why'd they wait 18 months? Why is this? I mean, my God, why haven't we seen anything yet? This is the thing. So a lot of us on our side are just like, this is just getting so stupid and ridiculous. We haven't seen anything. There's nothing. They're showing us nothing. But on their side, those people, just like always, they've already made up their mind. The guy's guilty to them. I mean, you heard the comments. You heard the snippy ass comments they were making just in that short clip that we heard. It's just like, oh, these people can't think. They're all stupid. They're deplorable. I mean, this is, they're just, they already think the guy's guilty. They think that he's guilty. They think that we're guilty. I mean, I put a post up yesterday where the ex-CIA director, I can't remember the dude's name, but the ex-CIA director under, you know, George W., he thinks that we are the biggest, we as Republicans, just Republicans, the bucket of us that are Republicans, we are the biggest threat to national security. This is what these people think. It's kind of terrifying. You know, they've already made up their minds about him. They've made up their minds about us. And this is just their, this is their groupthink. So, I mean, I feel like just put up or shut up. I'm so sick of this crap.
Exactly. Okay, so here's another take, and this is a panel that was on Hannity last night and included that young sort of firebrand lawyer of Trump's, along with Geraldo and Dershowitz. But I think it's just the Trump attorney that speaks in this particular clip. And here's what they're thinking is going to happen in terms of all the redactions that will be possible once this is released.
Up with Jonathan Turley. As it relates, send it back to the DOJ. They get to write the, they get to redact whatever they want out of it. I'm pretty certain it's not going to come back favorable in any way to the side of transparency.
I agree with you. I think that there won't be very much transparency. I would expect it will get a lot of black ink all over that piece of paper. If I was the DOJ, a Biden DOJ, I'd probably be redacting everything other than the word and the. So we're going to have to see what they kick back. The one good thing that this judge did say is that he will take a look at it. If it's too heavily redacted, he will do so himself. So he's encouraging them to try and give us some sort of clarity. I think there's a lot of people here that are just waiting, including the Trump team, to see what the basis was when you have a coordinating president. I mean, any person, but let alone a president. It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And I don't know. I'm actually surprised. Listen, I'm not a legal scholar, so I was surprised to know that as the target of this raid, he had not seen and didn't know what was in the affidavit. So that is weird to me. I guess that's standard procedure.
Right. It's weird to me too. Because you think that as the person who was being targeted, that you would, you would have the right to see that.
Yeah, that's why I'm very confused about that. But maybe that's just normal process.
I feel like that shouldn't be normal process. Like as an American citizen, I feel like we should have rights as American citizens to see that. Don't you think?
It does seem odd to me that he doesn't know the basis for the search. Like how are you not told? Here's why we're searching your place.
Yeah, I do. I feel like that's odd too. And as in America. Like, what is going on? How does that happen? That's just not cool. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Very odd. It's odd to me too. Yeah. You don't get it because it just seems very un-American. Maybe that's just us. I don't know.
Well, again, I've never been searched. You've never been the target of a search. I don't know how this works.
I mean, it's coming. So. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time.
Helicopters.
They're on to us. I mean, it is coming.
You guys, I know we've told you about GenuCell before, and we've told you about the fact that their most popular package is 65% off right now. I don't know how long this is going to last. So if you've been waiting and you're like, well, I mean, it's fine. I have time. I have time to get in on the 65% off. I don't know if you do. So you don't want to put it off, especially because right now, the most popular package, they're throwing in the dark spot corrector for free when you order it. And it is already chock full of some of the best, our most favorite products from GenuCell, like the XV cream, the extra velvety cream, as Morgan likes to refer to it. It includes that. It includes the under eye stuff for dark circles and eye bags. It already has so much good stuff in it. But when they throw in the dark spot removal thing too, I mean, hello, why would you not do that? Why would you not get it? It works. You know, you used it on a spot.
Amazing stuff. Yes, I do. The dark spot corrector, I had a spot right here and it like completely got rid of it. It's amazing stuff, you guys. It actually does work. It works ridiculously well. Yeah. So great stuff.
Check it out. It's GenuCell.com/chicks for the 65% off. And then if you put in code chicks at checkout, 10% more. They take off 10% more. I mean.
Yep. And you guys, make sure that you are following our website too, chicksontheright.com. So go there and bookmark it. Do it today if you haven't done it. I don't know why you haven't done it, but do it.
Do it today. Yep. Okay. One thing that I meant to mention yesterday and completely forgot when we were talking about Liz Cheney and everybody was making fun of Liz Cheney and all of the Liz Cheney hullabaloo. One thing that I forgot to mention was a very interesting phone call that Liz Cheney received. I will let Caitlin Collins tell you about it as she recounts what happened to Don Lemon.
About a phone call President Biden made after last night's primary. What can you tell us about that, Caitlin? What is that?
This is a call that President Biden made to Liz Cheney, which, of course, as we all saw last night, she had this big concession speech after she lost her primary, something that was widely expected given the battle that she has waged with former President Trump, especially as she has been the vice chairwoman of the January 6th committee and has been very public about her feelings about Trump. And it is notable, I think, you know, the White House is not disclosing what was said during this call between President Biden and Liz Cheney, but the fact that the call happened in and of itself is notable, Don, because, of course, these are two people who have very different political views. You heard President Biden's chief of staff, Ron Klain, saying earlier there's probably no lawmaker he has differing views with than Liz Cheney, but they like the way that she stood up for democracy. And that is the point of the call that President Biden made to her to talk about this. And so, you know, there's been all this talk from Republicans about whether or not she should have stayed in her position, what she'll do on the January 6th committee going forward, since she will still be a lawmaker for a few more months. But notable that Biden called her himself, Don.
I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, because it's all about hating Trump. And he loves that, right? The Democrats love that. Just like we were talking about yesterday. It's all about this vicious hatred for Trump. It's not about her constituents. It's not about the American people. It's not about us. It's not about them even. It's just about this like tunnel visioned hatred. And it's so sick. Like, it's just become like this mental disorder. It's just weird, you guys. And it's just gross. And so I don't even know if I'd call her a Democrat. I would just call her somebody with a mental disorder at this point, you know?
Well, and it's super crazy. Weird that, I mean, imagine if Biden just made it a practice to call every Republican who lost a primary. Like, that's just super weird. It's just not a typical practice. And it's just, I don't even know what message he's trying to send with that, except to say, look at you. If you hate Trump really, really hard, you'll get a personal phone call from me. I mean, it's just so dumb. Oh my God. Yeah. So dumb.
It's nuts.
And for them to say, oh, it's because she stood up for democracy. Let's talk about how the left stands up for democracy. Okay. There was this hullabaloo made yesterday from a podcaster by the name of Sam Harris. We had to look him up. We had no idea who Sam Harris was, but he was getting a lot of attention yesterday because he appeared on a podcast with a couple of other fellows talking about how the Hunter Biden story was completely squelched just ahead of the presidential election. And you guys, Sam Harris, who Wikipedia refers to as a philosopher, he's an American philosopher.
If you're like, you tell your parents, that's what I'm going to be. They're going to be like, does that come with dental? Like, what is that? I'm a philosopher, you guys. Okay.
I mean, I guess he's written some books and he has this podcast or whatever, but he is a perfect example of how the left is totally willing to shirk democracy altogether as long as it gets them the result that they're looking for in this case, and a Trump not winning re-election. And so the fact that he's this open about it is pretty remarkable. The two dudes who are interviewing him actually push back. I don't have a lot of that breakdown, but I do have two clips from this that made the rounds yesterday. And it's just incredible that he'll say these things out loud. Here is the first one.
Doesn't answer the people who say it's still completely unfair to not have looked at the laptop in a timely way and to have shut down the New York Post's Twitter account. Like, that's a left-wing conspiracy to deny the presidency to Donald Trump. Absolutely it was. Absolutely. Right. But I think it was warranted. Right. And again, it's a coin toss as to whether or not
Sam, I'm sorry.
That particular piece.
I'm really sorry. I was the one that said we should move on, but you've just said something I really struggle with there, which is
the kids in the basement?
You no, fuck the kids in the basement. I'm interested in democracy. You're saying you are content with a left-wing conspiracy to prevent somebody being democratically reelected as president.
Well, no, I'm content. Well, so it's, but the thing is, it's just not left-wing, right? So Liz Cheney is not left-wing, right? Liz Cheney is doing everything in her power.
You're content with a conspiracy to prevent somebody being democratically
elected. But there's nothing, conspiracy, it's not, it was a conspiracy out in the open. It doesn't matter what part's conspiracy, what part's out in the open. I mean, I think it's like, if people get together and talk about what should we do about this phenomenon, you know, if it's like, if there was an asteroid hurtling toward Earth, and we got in a room together with all of our friends and had a conversation about what we could do to deflect its course, right? Is that a conspiracy?
He was really reaching there at the end. Like, what are you talking about? This is not a meteor. This is not an asteroid.
Right, right. And you didn't play the part about the kids in the basement, right?
No.
Because he's talking, I can't even remember exactly what he said, but he was talking about dead kids in a basement. I mean, it's like, this guy is a lunatic. It's like, he's openly talking about how it was totally okay for them to do what they did in the last election. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Like, these people are crazy. Yeah. And they claim
to care about democracy.
Right.
Bullshit.
Exactly. They are absolute bullshitters. But the problem is, the biggest problem is, they think that they're right. They think they're right. And they think that they are morally and ethically superior to us. And that is what's terrifying, mm-hmm. is that they put themselves on this pedestal and they think, well, I mean, we're better than you and we're smarter than you. And so we know what's best and we understand democracy. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to push you guys down because we're better. We're smarter. We're intellectually superior to you.
We're philosophers.
We're philosophers. Right. Oh my God. It's great. You saw it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's another one here from that same interview.
No one has clean hands here, but at the 11th hour, when who knows how this election is going to go, who knows what the capacity for, you know, disinformation at the last minute to tip the balance is, then what do you do with the Hunter Biden laptop story when we already know, we know how this played out in 2016 with the Hillary Clinton email, you know, press conference where Comey in an abundance of scrupulosity felt like he had to come before the cameras, I think 10 days out from the election and say, you know, we're going to open up this investigation again because we've got Anthony Weiner's laptop. We could see, I mean, again, her failure to become president was overdetermined. She was an appallingly bad candidate. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just tracking the poll numbers, you could, like, that was the killing blow to her candidacy, right? That final moment. And this was a highly analogous situation. This was, we're going to open up this laptop from hell, and the news cycle for who knows how long is going to be conceivably just a nuclear bomb of an October surprise. And we're going to get four more years of Trump if we actually give this a fair hearing.
But Sam.
But you can't do that, Sam. Surely. You've got to realize.
Oh my God.
I mean, they tried, right? Like, they tried to say, dude, that's not how America works. And philosopher Sam is adamant. And he represents so many people on the left that think it's completely fine how that whole story was treated.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in the same interview, let me tell you how I think democracy is. Let me tell you, you deplorables, what democracy is.
Exactly.
You elitist punk. Like, mm-hmm. you bearded douchebag. Like, don't tell me, don't you dare try to teach me about democracy. You don't know what it is. I mean, how dare you talk down to me? How dare you? It's unbelievable. These people are unbelievable. It's just, it's asinine.
And it does go to what we've talked about before. I know a lot of people feel helpless when it comes to just the whole process, right? Because everything feels rigged. Everything feels so
hopeless. It does.
And like you don't have the power that we're supposed to have as voters. But it's starting to come across in polls. And so one of the things that I fought with my husband about for months is that I don't think this red wave is a given, and especially in the Senate. I don't think we are going to retake the Senate. I feel pretty good about the House, but I don't think we're going to retake the Senate. I don't think a red wave is in the cards or in the bag, I should say. And I worry about how complacent people feel about that, that they're just like either thinking, oh, it's a given. Everyone is so miserable and unhappy under Biden. For sure there will be a red wave. I don't need to get to the polls. You guys, I cannot tell you how important it is for you to go and to like recruit other people to get there with you.
I implore people. I'm a precinct chair in Texas and the numbers are dismal. Republican numbers are so ridiculously low. I mean, like people haven't registered to vote. People, if they do register, they don't vote. The numbers are horrible, you guys. They're horrible. I have to literally drag people to go vote. So if you think that it is a given that we're going to win, not a given. I mean, in Texas, I'm talking about rural Texas. I live in rural Texas, and it is. And these people are Republican for the most part, and they will not go vote because. And I can't tell you the reasons why. So I'm just telling you right now, it is not a given. And then you get out to the suburbs, and I know other precinct chairs who are struggling with people in the suburbs. I mean, they have to go out and they literally have to drag people to the polls. It is not a given. It's never a given. You have got to like you, the people in this broadcast, I implore you, you have to like take 10 people with you. You have to, if you want to win this, it is not in the bag at all. We do not have.
And then add to the complacency and the lack of, I guess, urgency that people feel about doing this. And then the uncomfortable truth is that we have some terrible candidates for Senate right now on the GOP side who are like Dr. Oz, for example. We have terrible, terrible, terrible candidates who are probably not going to win. And so we need to be prepared for that. And I'm actually glad last night, Tucker's opening, I've got a couple minutes of that. I was like, thank you, because this is what I've been saying. And people have laughed at me and been like, you're crazy. Everything is so bad right now. There's no way that Republicans won't just completely sweep everything. And I'm like, you guys, they're not going to. And so Tucker finally also said those kinds of things last night in his opening. So I thought I'd play just the first couple minutes.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson tonight. For all the bad things going on, there are on the other side Joe Biden's approval ratings, which are a nonstop source of joy for us. And if you've seen them recently, you know in your heart exactly how the November elections are going to turn out. Biden's obviously been a disaster for the country, but not only has he made the U.S. poorer, weaker, and much more ridiculous, people know that he has. And they tell pollsters about it all the time. Biden is the single least popular president in modern American history. At this point, absolutely nobody is impressed by Joe Biden, and that would be including Dr. Jill. So this is a big problem for the Biden family, obviously, but a much bigger problem even for the Democratic Party, which Joe Biden leads. Unpopular presidents drag their parties to the bottom in midterm elections. That's the unchanging rule of politics. You saw it famously in 1994 with the Republican takeover of Congress after two disastrous years with Bill Clinton. You saw it in 2006 after Hurricane Katrina. You saw it in 2010 after Obamacare. You saw it in 2018. So there's no question based on precedent that that's about to happen once again in 2022 in November. That's what everybody assumes. And in fact, it may well happen. We're certainly praying for it. But as of tonight, we have to be honest with you. The numbers don't show that happening. Not even close. In fact, all the indications we have right now suggest that despite Joe Biden's well-earned unpopularity, the Democratic Party still, again, as of tonight, has a strong chance of holding Congress in November. The prediction markets, which many believe are more accurate than the polls, overwhelmingly point to the Democrats keeping at least one chamber. And maybe strangest of all, as of this week, Democrats are leading Republicans nationally on the so-called generic ballot by about 4 points. So if you ask people, which party do you like more, they say Democrats. And maybe that's why Democrats are raising a lot more money, too, and not just money from their patrons in big tech, but from small dollar donors. That's bad. In June, Democrats raised $64 million online from 4 million people. That same month, this June, Republicans raised only $26 million online from just over a million donors. From the first quarter to the second quarter of this year, donations to the Republican Party dropped by more than 12%. By contrast, donations to the Democratic Party are up more than 20%. That is not good at all, not simply because you need money to run a political campaign, but because money is, to some extent, a measure of commitment and intensity.
Yikes. I don't mean to be all doom and gloom, you guys, but yikes.
Yeah, I mean, it is very yikes. It does. It concerns me as well. Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's very concerning. And then on top of that, you know, I think a lot of people are disillusioned because of what happened, you know, in the last election. They're like, well, my vote doesn't count. No, it absolutely does. You have to overwhelm the system. Okay, so I'm having flashbacks of 2012. I remember you and I, we did the whole broadcasting in a hotel room. Remember 2012, yes. The presidential election in 2012, Mitt Romney, Mr. Fluffy Man that has no backbone and no balls. And when he ran for president, and I just remember everybody thought we were going to win. Remember? People thought we were going to win that election. I'm not wrong about that, right?
No, I mean, no.
It's like we kind of thought
I felt super optimistic. I remember feeling optimistic. Yeah.
Yeah, we went to a little downtown thing. We thought we were going to win. You know, we thought, it's a shoo-in. We're going to win, you know, because, you know, we got this in the bag. Oh, my God, y'all. It was bad. I mean, that was bad. And then the way that he, you know, conceded that election, it was so typical of Republicans, you know, he's just tail between his legs, you know, it's just so us as we're just, you know, it's just so Republican-y. It's just so we just need to not, we need to be, it's strength in numbers. You need to like make sure that you grab people, get out there, and cannot get complacent. We just can't. We cannot think, oh, this is just going to be great. This is in the bag. We've got it. We got this. It's great because the country sucks. It's a giant dumpster fire. And of course we're going to win. No, it's not. It's just not
it's
a shoe-in.
It's not
shoe-in.
A sure thing. Not even a little bit of a shoe-in. So please, 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 if you haven't registered, go. If you are voting, take people with you. Like, it's go time, you guys.
Right. Because don't ever underestimate those street fighters. And Democrats are street fighters. Mm-hmm. We're just not, you guys. I mean, some of us are, but for the most part, we're not.
And don't underestimate how masochistic Democrats are. They don't care how bad things are as long as there's no Trump. And they're motivated to vote against somebody like a Trump. I mean, they are super, super motivated. They don't care how much they're suffering. They don't even care that it's their party causing the suffering. As long as it's not Orange Man, they're going to get to the polls. And that's why we have to do the exact same
That's right.
thing.
That is right.
What is in your sack of whack?
Okay. Our whack today is about this toddler in Turkey, or Turkey Yay, as you now pronounce
Turkey
it.
Yay.
She was in her backyard playing and a snake bit her, you guys. And she started crying and everything, and neighbors heard her crying. Anyways, she started biting the snake back until the snake died. This toddler is my spirit animal. I love her. I just love her. She's the biggest badass. I just love this little girl. So this is what she did, and she's made the news. And I think this is the greatest story of the week. I
oh my
just
God.
Love her so much. So she literally, she picked the snake up or was holding it. And there's, I don't know, something like 17 to 19 different kinds of snake in Turkey. And a lot of them are, you know, venomous. And apparently this one, thank God, was not the kind that could kill her, because it did bite her one time. And then she killed it. She killed it with her teeth. She just kept, biting it and biting it and biting it until it died.
I love her. Oh my God. I love her so much. I cannot. That's just amazing. Absolutely incredible.
I do too. I love her. I love her so much. Anyways, that is your whack. And I thought it was just the greatest story of the week. So listen, snake bites you, bite it back.
That's right. Now you know what to do. I mean, maybe like you want to be careful about the kind of snake, but
that's right. Maybe not a rattlesnake, but you know, garden snake. There you go. Baby balls. That's right, Lisa. Baby balls.
That's right. Oh, and I meant to mention, We have had, I know you're not in Indiana anymore, but you have missed out on the most extraordinary week of weather that I think the state has ever seen. It's been glorious. And it reminds me that I just wanted to throw out a shout out to the good folks at omahasteaks.com because we are going to be grilling out this weekend.
Really? That's see. I do. That weather is, when it was nice there, it was really nice.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's been hot here. We finally got rain in Texas. We've had 2 days of like spitting kind of rain and we've had a major drought here. So we're very grateful to God for the rain. We keep praying for rain. We're getting a little bit of it. So that's a good thing. Yep.
Well, and be grateful to omahasteaks.com for their delicious food that you should absolutely get yourself some. You guys, you can make your own. You can like put together your own whatever and get big discounts when you put chicks in the search bar at omahasteaks.com. So check them out.
Okay, you guys, bring it in. Oh, here they come. Here they come. Oh, God. Oh, yep. God. There's Astrid. There's Astrid. There's Astrid. She's bringing it in. Everybody tried to ask. Oh, she's bringing it in. So everybody bring it in. We hope that you have the most amazing weekend. You guys, I'm going to try to get a T-Mobile spot. I know that nobody cares, but maybe my connection will be
everybody
better.
Cares. We're trying all the things, you guys. We're literally trying everything.
I've been waiting on the business Starlink from Elon Musk, okay? And he doesn't seem to care about me. I don't know why Elon Musk will not answer my calls. But I'm trying to get like the better, bigger pipe, you know, Starlink here, and he just doesn't love me. So as I'm waiting on that, I'm trying to get T-Mobile, like, something to see if I can make it better. We're doing everything we can. If I can't get better, then, you know, I'm going to have to drive to someplace else, like at 3 a.m. to get a better connection. I don't know. We're working on everything.
But we can just do this. We can just deal. We can just deal.
We'll see what happens on Monday, you guys. But everybody pray for my connection and we will talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Bye, everybody.
Liz Cheney loses badly in Wyoming. The Fed says inflation is not going anywhere. And former CIA Director Michael Hayden has a ridiculous take on the Republican Party. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day for conservatives, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Join us. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.